Revelation chapter number 5, we'll be there. We're also going to be there tonight, not in this particular book or chapter, but we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2. Folks, I am so excited to go through this book. I never thought I would be the way I am right now, but we're going to be dealing with the church of Thyatira again. And I thought I was going to be getting to look at Jezebel that was mentioned in that particular passage we're going through. But God has laid so much on my heart with this church that we're not even going to make it to Jezebel tonight. You say, well, why not? We're in a hurry. No, we shouldn't be in a hurry, because I really don't want to miss what God has for us. So God has spoken in my heart about, hey, slow down, take your time. And he's done that through you people, because you folks have come, hey, take your time with this, because we don't want to go through it very fast. So Revelation chapter number 5 this morning, we're going to look at one verse this morning. And you might be asking, why is this screen blank this morning? Because you normally have your stuff up there. It'll be up there at the end, and there's a reason for that, because I'm kind of leaving you in suspense, and I will cue Jake when I'm ready for that, and it's going to be really towards the end of this. So as we continue to go through this series that God has laid upon my heart these last few months, who are you? We started last week, or we ended last week with that particular series, and it ended with this: who are you in Christ? But God began to deal with my heart and say, hey, we're not done with this, because you're so much more in Christ. And I want you to see these things. And God laid upon my heart about Wednesday afternoon this particular matter that we're dealing with today. Verse number 6 of chapter number 5, and it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Did you catch that capitalization right there? Is yours capitalized in your Bible as well? So with that being said, who is that referring to? All right, it's referring to Jesus Christ. Well, look what it says here. It says, stood a lamb as it had what? Been slain. You look at the word slain, you look it up, and what does that word mean? It means to have been killed. That's what that word means. But it says has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all of the earth. I'm going to deal with this verse this morning in a little bit of a different way, if you will allow me this morning. I would appreciate that. And we're going to see something here this morning maybe we've never seen as we've gone through this. And that is the scar that the Lamb took for you and me. Now, that's not the title of the message this morning, but our Lamb, our Savior, took not just one scar, but he took multiple scars upon his body for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. I thank you for this great opportunity that you have given me to not just preach your word, but to study your word. And so, Lord, I pray with the things that you have laid upon my heart this morning, I would be able to teach it to the best of my ability. Lord, I pray that you would begin to penetrate the hearts of the people that are here. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So, as we go through this, we're going to be talking about scars. I began to look up some folks this week that had some tremendous scarring in their life. And if I was to rehearse every story that I read this week, we would probably be here for the remainder of the afternoon. But I have realized that there have been many people that have gone through life and they have scars. Now, we know that scars are sometimes very visible, are they not? But there are some scars that you and I do not see because they are not visible. And we're going to deal with those this morning. I read one particular story this week how a young lady, very young of age, had a very bad incident happen in her life where she was raped, and out of that she had to have a child, and she has had many scars in her life because of that incident in her life. People go through life and they begin to develop scars, and their skin shows it, and sometimes it doesn't show it. There are a few ways that scars come about our lives. Could we be in agreement with that this morning? A few weeks ago, I like to share with you some of my stories as I have grown up, and I shared you my story, the scar that I have on my pinky. Well, that scar is still there for this reason, because it's been healed. That's one thing we got to understand about a scar. It's there because it's been healed. But I like to tell the story. I like to tell the incident that took place. I think it's kind of, as I look back upon it, I think it's kind of funny as I begin to rehearse those moments in my life. But to this day, at the age of 47, soon to be 48, I still see the scar that took place in my life when I was about 8 or 9 years of age. And so they come about in many different forms. But we also need to understand not all scars this morning are visible. We're going to deal with some scars that you and I have dealt with in our life, and we will all be very understanding of this as we go through this. Some scars will come through the death of a friend. We've all experienced a loss of a friend. I just experienced a loss of one of my dear friends here a few months ago, and I'll be honest with you, that's not a fun thing to go through. It's something that you don't really expect. But I've also come to understand this. Now I'm at an age in my life, because I'm older, the people that I've grown up with, the people that I've known, are now at the age of their life where they're going to be passing from this world. What a great thing to go through as you begin to think about that. But we develop those scars through the death of not just a friend, but we develop those scars as we go through the loss of a loved one. We have those scars. And those are some of the ones that we don't see on the outward side, but they're there on the inward side. And this particular scar that I'm talking about this morning is known as an emotional scar. You know, there are some people, and please don't fault people for how they deal with death in their life, because some people are able to get over that rather quickly, and there are some folks who are not able to get over that. Please understand this. God created every single one of us differently. And we're going to go through life differently. And so this scar, as we go through the death of a friend or the death of a loved one or maybe the death of a pet, because pets are like our family to us, even though we want to kick them and bury them sometimes, we call them names, everything but their own name that we've given them. How many of you has the same name as my dog, as Moron? We all have names for our dogs, but we all come back to, hey, Moron, get out of my way. We do those things. But as we go through this, this is kind of a scar that we see, and that's an emotional scar. We all have those. We try to do our best to hide them, but sometimes we can't hide those things. There are some scars that happen because of some type of an accident that happens in our life. Some of you folks have been involved in some very bad car wrecks. I've known some folks that have been in car wrecks where they've been life-flighted. They've had the jaws of life taken to their car. They survived, but with that survival, they have scars. And what are the scars? Well, that comes to place because of maybe a piece of metal being lodged into their skin, or maybe they had to go in and do a surgery, and now they bear that scar. Maybe the scar has come to place because maybe a bicycle accident, as you like to ride your bike around when you're younger and all those things. And there are many other ways that we can develop scars in our life. There are some scars that this morning I'm going to talk about that might be very sad for us to hear, but we need to hear these things because everybody goes through life a little bit differently. Amen? We got to understand these things. But there are some scars that many women have that we probably are not privy to in our church to know about some of these things. But there are some scars that maybe women have in their life because they were harassed sexually. There are some things that remain private to a lot of individuals that they don't want to share with anybody else because for some reason they don't want to bring us into that part of their life because it's very emotional to them. But they hold these scars. So they've been harassed sexually or maybe forced into an unknown situation that they are not happy with. See, we all go through life a little bit differently. Life deals every single one of us with different cards. But I do know this, even though life deals us different cards, God has given us the ability and God has given us the strength to rise above our circumstances. And I'm thankful for that. Sure, we can sit and choose to stay in that circumstance and have that thought on our mind all the day, but that's really not doing us any good. And you're saying, Chad, you really can't say this because you've never been through those things. I do know this, even though I have not been through this, as I said in Sunday school this morning, God will give you the strength and he will get you through that time. You just have to lean on him. So there are these scars that women will bear in their life that us men have no idea what has taken place. There are some scars that women might bear because they might have an abusive husband at home. By the way, let me say this. If I know of any man in this church that's abusive of their wife, shame on you. And if I was to ever find out about it, may God have mercy upon your soul. You saying that as a threat? No, I'm saying God have mercy upon your soul. Because that should not be tolerated. I don't take kindly to that. And my wife knows of this. My daughter knows of this. I remember several years ago as we're traveling down Broadway where First Christian used to be. Now it's the CVS pharmacy. And I remember a guy was threatening this young lady. And I believe that he was getting ready to raise her, his hand towards her and hit her. And I stopped my car, and like a fool, I shouldn't have done what I did, but I left my wife and my daughter in the car by themselves. And I got out, and I ran after that man because there's no excuse for a man to be laying his hands on a woman. By the way, it happens, and it happens inside believer circles. And women go through these things, and they keep these things, and they have these scars that you and I don't see. And they need our help, and they need our encouragement, and they need our prayers. So these are some scars that many people don't like to talk about and bring forth into a world that they don't want people to know about. There are some other scars that you and I will face in life, and that is this. I've never had the privilege to be in the military, even though God has blessed me to be with a chaplain for the United States Service Command, but I've never been in the military. I've never gone through that training, and I've never gone out to battle. But I do know that there are men and women that in this church who have faced those things. They've enlisted, they've signed up, they've gone through that training, and they've gone out to battle. They might not have been hurt physically in battle, but they still bear some type of a scar for when they're there. Maybe they can't sleep at night very well because of the situation that they're in. By the way, this is something for us to think about. On July 4th, when we're all out there having our fun, lighting off our fireworks, do you know what it's going through a lot of the military men and women's minds during that time? And is this thought, please stop. Because of what they've gone through. They relive that scene over and over again. We had one guy in our church that battled that in his life. He's with the Lord now. He no longer has to battle that. But he had that scar from his life. So they'll have scars because they'll step into war. By the way, take time to thank your military men and women for the things that they do for our country. Maybe there are some scars because there's a lot of rebellion in this world, and because of the rebellion that takes place in our life, we have men who like to fight with one another. And they go out and they begin to battle one another, and they begin to beat each other up, and they walk away with some type of mark that's going to be there with them until they pass. These are some outward scars that you and I will probably see on some individuals. By the way, as you look into the movie industry, every time they show somebody with a scar, you know what that usually represents? Somebody of evilness. Not everybody that bears a scar is evil. Hollywood has really twisted some things. I have come to find out and realize scars are beautiful. Scars are not something to shy away from. Scars are not something to cover up. But scars are something beautiful. These situations begin to happen to many people And some will hide their scars, and some will display their scars, depending upon the person. I've even done some more reading with what people will do with their scars that they get in their life as they go through it. Some will try very hard to cover it up. And now in our world, for some reason or another, marking a body is more popular than it has ever been. And so, and you say, are you going to preach against that? I said, no, I'm not going to preach against that. I'm going to tell you this. My conviction is not your conviction. Okay, I got to say this every time. I'm not going to judge you because you have a choice in your life. You went out and got a tattoo. That's not for me to judge, folks. It really isn't. And I'm not going to look at you any different. I've come to find out people that have the most tattoos on their body are the most genuine people. And the most soft-hearted people have a heart of gold. But some will go out because they don't like what they see, and they will tattoo their body up to try to cover up that scar. But you can never totally cover it up because it's always going to be there. So you might be asking this question this morning, what does this have to do with us, of who we are in Christ? That's a good question. That's a good thought to have, but I'm not ready to answer that just yet, to be perfectly frank with you. Because there are some other issues that we need to deal with this morning. And I will promise you this. I will answer this shortly. And then once it's answered, we'll go about our separate ways. And maybe we'll remember this message, and maybe we won't remember this message. But I want us to point our thoughts back to verse number 6 this morning in the book of Revelation chapter number 5. And it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb." Not just any particular lamb, not just some lamb that you would see out in the fields as a shepherd's out there trying to shepherd those lambs and trying to corral them, keeping them in safety, try to lead them to the waters and give them food. I'm not talking about that type of a lamb. Even though those lambs are cute, those lambs are precious, that's not what I'm talking about. If you're to be on Facebook or maybe Instagram and you follow my younger brother Matt, who recently in the last couple of years have gotten into that business of raising lambs. He raises them for a few reasons. One, he raises them to sell to people if they want them for food. I have a partial one in my freezer today. I say a partial one because they had a drought last year and it was a small lamb. He robbed me of my money. I'm just going to be honest with you. No, I'm just kidding. But he also raises them because people want them as pets. So he has these things. And just this last week and a half, they are now coming into the season where they're starting to produce. He had triplets here a week ago. Before that, a day or two before that, he had twins. And he likes to take pictures of those things, and he likes to post those things. And I usually make a smart aleck comment on this, oh, somebody's future food, something like that. But they're very cute. They're very precious to look at. And we look at those things, oh, how cute are they? But that's not the type of lamb I'm talking about this morning. Because this lamb that's mentioned in the book of Revelation 5, verse number 6, is not an ordinary lamb. The lamb that we are talking about this morning is Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about him just for a little bit. Because it talks about a battle that this lamb was in. It wasn't in a battle just for some ordinary reason. There is a specific reason that this battle took place. And I want to share this with you. It was for you and for me. It was for your protection and for my protection is what has to take place. But as he is in battle, it says here in Scripture, it says, he stood in the midst looking as if he was slain, looking as if he was dead, but he was not dead. It was very clear as you look at this Scripture here. It's very clear because it looked as if he had been slain. You would notice, but it doesn't say this, you would notice from the Scripture that he had wounds upon his body. Not just wounds that you and I can just think of. These wounds were very specific. And with these wounds came markings. These markings came because of the attacks that he took. And I might remind you this morning, these attacks that he took was for you, was for me. But with these wounds came the markings, and these markings are now what we know of as scars. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. Isaiah chapter 53. I have a very hard time reading this particular chapter as I do often, and I like to go back to it on many different occasions. And you'll understand once you get there and begin to see these words, you'll understand why I have a hard time. And we're going to read from verse number 1, actually, in chapter number 53. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground." Now, we never really stopped and considered that verse here, but you think of the word plant, you think of the word root, it means he was put in there for a reason, for you and I. "He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." You know what this verse is saying here, and I'm going to be very frank about this. This verse is saying that Jesus Christ was ugly. There is no beauty to be found. We should desire him. Why was he ugly? Have you ever thought about because of the battle that he was in? Think about what was said in Revelation 5, verse 6. It says, "He stood in the midst as a lamb, as if he was slain." He wasn't desirous to be looked upon. Have you ever seen somebody that's been in battle? We've all seen this on TV. I know this. And we all see a soldier go to war, and they go through a battle, and they're unrecognizable. Verse number 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows." Do you see the wounds here in this verse that's beginning to take place with the lamb that's being talked about? He was despised and rejected. Nobody in here this morning appreciates being rejected. Nobody enjoys that. Verse number 5:3, it says, "And acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Look at verse number 5. This is a lamb that's being talked about. "But he was," say it with me, "wounded for our transgressions." He has scars on his body because of us. "He was bruised for our iniquities." You know what a bruise is? A bruise is something that is very deep inside the body. Sometimes you don't see the outward horror of it, because it can take a few days for a bruise to penetrate to show you the damage that was actually done. I remember several years ago, and God used this instant in my life to get a hold of me in this area. I love playing basketball, and I was involved in several leagues, and if somebody asked me today, "Hey, Chad, would you be in a league with me?" I'd say, "Yes, but I'm only good for 5 minutes, and that's stretching time." But I remember several years ago, I used to play on Sunday mornings where we played at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I figured, hey, this is a great time. I can still play basketball. I'm going to be back in church just in time. But there are some times where people wanted me to stay later, play on their team, and I would do that on certain occasions. But I remember one particular day, as I'm at the YMCA, and I'm playing against this big guy. He's about 6'10". He seemed like 6'10", and some of you guys know him if I was to say his name. And we both went up for, I can't remember if I was going up for a shot or whatever's taking place, but I remember I came down on his ankle. My ankle came down on his ankle. And it was the most excruciating pain that I have had playing basketball. And went to the hospital. Nothing was broken that they could see. I swear something was broken. But they said it wasn't broken. They say sometimes it's better to have a broken ankle because the sprain could be so severe. To this day, I kid you not, when I see somebody fall, when on television I'm watching those bloopers, and I'm trying to laugh, and I see them fall, and I see them fall a certain way, my ankle gets very fuzzy, and it sends a fuzz all the way up to my back. Am I the only one that has that feeling in their body? So I remember this day, the bruising wasn't there. But a couple days later, the bruising began to appear in my body. And it began to show the damage that actually took place. It started out brown, as most bruises do, but this particular bruise ended up turning green. It turned very ugly. Something that you wouldn't want to look at. The Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, he was bruised for our transgression. It took some time for that bruise to come forth. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But look at what it says. It says, and with his stripes, what's it say? We are healed. Here's another way I want you to look at this verse. And please, I'm not trying to add my own interpretation to this. But with his scars, we are healed. Amen? Because Christ had to go through that. Christ had to receive the beating upon his body. Christ had to have his scars so that you and I could be healed. So it's very clear in this chapter and back in Revelation chapter number 5, it's very clear that with his wounds that he had markings from attacks. One thing that we need to understand about Jesus in this description that was given back in Isaiah chapter number 3, and that is this. Jesus' body was full of scars. That's why there's no beauty. Most people, when they see scars, they want to turn away. But for you and I as believers, the scars that Jesus bears is beautiful. I've done some thinking, and I know I said this a few months ago, but I've done some thinking. What is the only man-made thing in heaven? Do you know there's some man-made things in heaven? Does anybody want to take a stab at it? Okay, nobody's going to answer, but I'm going to answer for you. The only man thing in heaven are the scars on the hands of Jesus. The scars on the feet of Jesus. The scars where the crowns were embedded into his head. The scar where the spear went into his side and his water began to flow out. The scars on his back and maybe on his belly where the cat of nine tails went in there and began to tear away the flesh of his skin. By the way, the Roman soldier knew the best result to use that cat of nine tails was to flip it as soon as it touched the skin so it tear and just rip it wide open. It's almost as if a surgeon was taking the surgery tools to it and cutting them open. There are scars from that. There are scars that he bared as he began to walk up Calvary's Road, and as people began to look at him and begin to mock him, begin to spit upon him, and begin to make fun of his name and make fun of everything that he stood for. No different than what takes place in our world today. These are scars that Jesus bears. They're man-made, and they're in heaven today. His scars are our sign of hope. There's something beautiful about scars. And I made mention to it a little while ago, but a scar means that the hurt is over. And the wound is closed and is healed. See this little bump that I have on my pinky, and if you want to see it, you can see it. It's not gross. It's just a little reminder of what took place that day when I was a greedy little kid wanting to go to the candy store and grab all the candy that I can buy for $1.25 and go back home and consume it and have an upset stomach for the remainder of the night. But that scar was not there right away. It began to develop as the healing process took place. So again, you might be still asking, what does this have to do with who we are in Christ? Jake, go ahead and put it up there if you would, please. The answer is simple. Because of Christ, you are now scar-free. Hallelujah to that. All the scars that you have borne in life, He took that to Calvary. Who are you in Christ this morning? If you don't get it, something's wrong. Something's missing. On the 25th of April, 1986, I became scar-free. Because He already went to the cross. He took the wounds. He took the attacks upon His body so that you and I can go into heaven scar-free. When we get into heaven, we're not going to see each other's scars. Why? Because Christ took care of that. But there are scars that we're going to see, and that's the scars that man put upon our Savior's body so that we wouldn't have to bear them. We're scar-free. I'm going to close with this thought. He took the ugliness upon Him for this reason. Stay with me, if you would, please. He took the ugliness upon Him for this reason. Please don't miss this. Doug, so that your beauty will shine through. Amen? So that your beauty will shine through. There's some folks in here this morning that have no clue what I'm talking about. They're bearing all these scars, but Jesus came to take it away from you. And all you have to do is put your trust and belief in Him. It's that simple. Who am I in Christ? I'm scar-free. I'm scar-free. Aren't you thrilled about that? There's some scars that I've seen on my father's body. I've seen a scar where they opened up his chest. I've seen a scar where he lost a part of his body years ago. But he's in the presence of the Lord today. And he's scar-free. That's who we are in Christ. And I hope that you catch the picture.